So I love that Brittany said, if you have gifts that you can use for the church, to pray about that, because that's what we're going to talk about today. And in that same lineup, if you feel called to be on a planning committee for a outdoor praise and worship night here at the church, let me know, because we are going to need planning, a planning committee. We want to worship God, and we want to invite our community. And what a better way to reach them than a fun outdoor event where we can worship God together. So, and I love how the people of this church serve each other. Whether it's mowing the lawn. Oh, kids, I didn't tell you again. Kids can leave for children's church. I didn't write it down this time, so I forgot to announce it. So I love how the people of this church serve each other. Whether it's mowing the lawn or vacuuming or printing the bulletins, praying for each other's needs, I notice your kindness. I pay attention. Yesterday, I had a sliver in the bottom of my foot, and it was just this little tiny sliver, but it was deep in there, and it hurt. And so I called Nurse Karen. She came right over and took care of that. Even in those small things, it's caring for each other, taking care of each other, right? And today we're going to study about spiritual gifts. And I want you to think about how much God must love when we use the gifts for his ministry. They're gifts that he gives us. And he also notices when we use those gifts. So last week we talked about, it was Pentecost Sunday. So we talked about the early church, and they were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to continue on with this story, let's look at Peter and John in Acts 4. You don't need to turn there just yet, but Peter and John, they were preaching and they were healing the sick. And after hearing their message, about 5,000 men believed. That's a lot of power to preach and have 5,000 people believe. Wow. But not everybody was happy about this response. Not everybody was happy that all these people decided that they wanted to follow Jesus. And so Peter and John were confronted by priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. And they were arrested, and they were put in jail overnight. And the next day, the council elders and teachers of the religious law, they met in Jerusalem. And when Peter got to speak, the Bible says that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus. The man that you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead." And the council, they were amazed at the boldness that Peter and John spoke. And not only that, but the man who was healed was standing right there. And the council didn't know how to stop them. So they banned them from speaking or teaching in the name of Jesus. Think about that. What if someone came to you today and said, "You are banned for preaching or healing, for praying in the name of Jesus"? I mean, this would be a crisis. And it was a crisis then, because the power comes from the name of Jesus, for praying in his name. And so let's go to Acts 4, 29 through 30. And this is their prayer about this situation. Acts 4, 29 and 30. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, this little story is so important. It's showing the cooperation and the unity between Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and man. Peter and John are men who followed and served Jesus. They recognized the importance of praying in Jesus' name. Jesus recognized they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said that the Holy Spirit was a gift that was sent by the Father. It's in John 14:16 where Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." When Peter spoke to the council, the Bible clearly tells us that Peter was speaking filled with the Holy Spirit. So the miracles and teachings that Peter and John were doing were because of this unity. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room on Pentecost. And they work and pray in Jesus' name. And they are obedient to what God has commanded them to do. So they have that obedience, that cooperation, that unity. And this same unity is available for us today. God will give us gifts to use to make us fruitful. In 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed. And the Holy Spirit distributes them as he determines. And these gifts are tools. They are not toys. They are tools to serve the kingdom of God. And religious scholars, they're going to put these spiritual gifts into categories. 3 categories, and then there's 3 gifts under each one. So in the gifts of revelation, that's a word of wisdom. Now, this is not your own wisdom. This is supernatural wisdom. This is wisdom that comes from God. And it tells you how to use knowledge. All right? So another gift is the gift of knowledge. Let's use an example. When Jesus met with the Samaritan woman at the well, I love that story. I use it all the time. But it's a great example of knowledge. When Jesus was speaking to her, he said, "This is not your first husband. In fact, you have had 5, whatever the number was. And so how did he know that? He hadn't been to the weddings. He hadn't, you know, seen her publicly, you know, because God told him this knowledge and that he could speak to her. And later, she's going to use that in her testimony, remember? Remember when she goes back to her village and she said, "And he could tell me all these things about myself." That's a word of knowledge. Now, how you use that knowledge is going to be a word of wisdom. And also in that category is discerning of spirits. Now, this one is important. It's how we recognize and distinguish between the spirits. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit. We have angelic spirits. We have both good and evil spirits. And we have the human spirit, right? Now, there are speaking gifts. And so that brings us to this middle column, the gift of prophecy. That's an utterance given by the Holy Spirit, which tells us something. It's usually something about the future. And I want to talk about the gift of prophecy at great length here in just a minute. And we also have the gift of tongues. Now, we have speaking in tongues is our, you know, personal, private prayer language with God. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a ministry using tongues. And it involves delivering a message of praise, rebuke, or counsel from God. So if I stood up here and I delivered a message from God in tongues, that's what that gift would be. And then if I did that, it would be the next one, the interpretation of tongues. I can't deliver a message in our church service in tongues without someone else standing up and interpreting that. Now, my old mentor, Vicki, she had that gift of interpretation of tongues. And so if someone stood up in a church service and delivered a message, she would give it a minute to see if God was prompting someone else to stand up and interpret that. And if no one did, then Vicki would, because it's important that that interpretation happens. So now we come to the power gifts. And the first one is the gift of faith. Now, there are different kinds of faith. There's the faith that you live by, spoken about in the book of Romans. But there's also the faith which is a fruit of the Spirit. And it is grown in your character, and it's cultivated by God. And it usually involves spoken word. So, you know, if you have faith, you can move mountains, but you're going to speak that out. And so a lot of times the gift of faith, that's going to involve actual words. And we have the gift of healing, the healing of the sick. And this healing can happen immediately or it can happen over time. And people have a whole dedicated ministry to the gift of healing. And even if that's not your particular gift, we still, we pray over the sick. So we can all do that. Whether you have the gifting of supernatural healing or not, we all pray for God to heal someone. The elders can anoint with oil, for example, that's in the Bible. And then there's a broad category of the working of miracles. And that's a huge category of physical miracles. And I don't have an example right at the moment, but we've all seen miracles, I would think. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2, Paul emphasizes that utilizing any of these spiritual gifts without love is not worthwhile. He said, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels and do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. You know, Jesus said that our love was going to make such a difference, right? He said it was the greatest thing. And when exercising a gift, we should approach it with humility and patience and a genuine desire to serve others. Any of our gifts should be used to build up the church. It should not be used to cause any division in the church. And so during a church service, if someone uses their gift, you know, we speak one at a time. And like I already spoke about, if someone gives a message in tongues, it has to be interpreted. And another caution that I'm going to give is that prophecies are not to be blindly accepted. Now, hold on. I believe in the gift of prophecy, and I believe that it should be used, and we shouldn't be overly cautious, but we have to make sure it aligns with Scripture and wisdom. So let me give some examples. Dan and I have been prophesied over many times, especially when we were preparing to go to the mission field. And we were at this church, and this woman, she came and she prophesied over us that we were going to have darkness and danger. And she explained that when it was the darkest, that the angels would spread their wings over us. And she talked about that these angels were going to protect us from this danger. And I believe that this prophecy was fulfilled several times. And I felt that. But there was another time I was in Nepal, and God was talking to me about humility. And sometimes I'm not as humble as I should be. And God was really working on that with me. And there was an acquaintance that called me from the United States. And she said, God told me to tell you this, that if you just had more self-confidence, that your ministry is going to thrive. Oh, no, that's not from God. I knew in my spirit immediately that was not for God. Because God is working on me about humility, and it is not about my self-confidence, having it or not having it, that is going to produce fruit in ministry. It's all about God and what he is doing through us. And so I rejected that. There are times that I have had prophetic visions, and I've had actually several, and I know, well, I think I know, when it's a vision versus it's just a dream. And several of these visions that God has given me have changed the course of our family. Dan and Darren can testify to that. Darren wasn't always happy with the changes that occurred because of these visions, because Dan and I were obedient to them. But how do I know that that vision is from God? Well, one, it doesn't contradict the Bible. It also confirms something that God is already speaking to us, and it also comes true. So in the visions, all the little details that God had given came true, not like I guess I would have figured it out, but the way God is explaining it to me. And so they all happened. And when I have a vision, I immediately like tell Dan, well, always Dan, but then maybe a friend or something. And so that I have a witness to God has given me this vision. And so when it comes true, we can say, yes, we knew that that was going to happen ahead of time. So I was at district council this year, and there was a mentor slash teacher that I had, and he had a prophecy over our church here in Hayward. And his prophecy, I don't remember the exact words, but he said, in the next 5 years, our church is going to see great growth, and it's going to be a light for our community as we serve God and serve our community. And this is a man I respect very much. So how do we know if that prophecy is real for our church? Well, one, does it go against the Bible? Does anyone have anything that says, no, that can't be, goes against Scripture? And does it go against wisdom or what God has been speaking to us? So in the absence of that it's not aligning, could it be that the Holy Spirit is encouraging us by saying that he will do something special here and more people will receive salvation and more people will receive discipleship here because the Holy Spirit is going to do something special? What do you think about that? And the only way I'm going to know 100% that this prophecy was from God is that it will actually occur. And so in 5 years, we need to reevaluate where we are today and where we are in 5 years and see what God does, right? Now, we have to recognize that all these gifts originate from God, and they operate by his grace and not our own power. And I want to read to you something that I think is very beautiful. And you can look it up if you want, but you could also just sit there for a moment and let it sink in. It's written in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 10. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Isn't that beautiful? I love the image of the fragile clay jars containing great treasure. And though we are fragile clay jars, God uses us to spread his good news. He gives us power to do his work. And knowing that the power is his and not ours should keep us from pride, and it should motivate us to keep in daily contact with God, our power source. Our responsibility is to let people see God through us. The image of the clay jars, it reminds me of that old song. Maybe you remember it. And it says that he is the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Oh, this I pray. Remember that song? I think that's one of those songs that I have listened to over and over again. So just as the early church used miracles to show God's glory and love, the modern church has the same responsibility. The Holy Spirit is still moving powerfully in his people, and he wants to draw close those who do not yet know Jesus. This week, I want you to reflect. What are your spiritual gifts that God has given you? Are you using them? Is there a spiritual gift that you would like? Are you asking him for it? Are you really honestly saying, "I surrender, dear God. I would like this gift. I would like to use it for your work, for ministry, for your good." And if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I am asking that this week that you spend some private time just praying in tongues. And just see what God is going to reveal to you. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I don't really have anything to back this up, but just stay with me a second. I think as we pray in that spirit, we feel more bold to use the spiritual gifts that God gives us. Because as we pray in the spirit, we are seeing his love, and we're feeling his power and his holiness, and it speaks to us in such a beautiful way. We put our phone down and we just spend time in his presence, and he speaks to us and he fills us, he revives us. Sometimes don't you just feel weary? You watch the news and you feel weary. Spending that time, letting God just revive us and tell us how we can use our gifts for his glory in a different way. If you don't speak in tongues, I'm going to continue to encourage you to seek that gift. When we surrender to God and allow him to flow through us, something marvelous happens. And, you know, I watch different pastors, and there are some people on TV or whatever that will tell you that there's this formula to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't really know if I believe in that or not. I don't know that there's a formula. I believe that God comes to us as an individual, and he sees us as an individual. And so a formula seems quite impersonal to me. But I will tell you that if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one, you have to surrender to self, right? You say, I want to glorify God in this different way, and it's not about me. And we also have to set aside our fear. And we have a lot of fears of that. I remember speaking to one of my Baptist friends, and she said, well, I'm afraid to ask for that because what if it's a demon that comes inside of me? Well, the answer to that is that the Bible reassures us that God will give us good gifts. So if we ask God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, he is not going to send us a demon. It's just not in the nature of God, and that's not something we have to fear. Now, another fear could be that I'm going to look stupid. Well, here's the thing. As Christians, we are set apart from the world as it is. We are different than the world. We are going to look different. They are going to recognize that we're different. And that is not something we have to fear. You know, it is not a popularity contest. But I think that when people recognize the Spirit of God in you, that is more beautiful than anything, right? So we don't have to fear about being different. We can just look forward to having more of God and surrendering ourselves to that. God wants to give us good gifts, and it is our job to receive them, to use them, to praise him. He is so active in our life. We just have to recognize it. I want to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and how it speaks to our spirits. I thank you for the spiritual gifts that you have freely given. Dear God, I ask that you continue to work with each of us to follow you more closely, to hear your voice, and to be bold to do your work, to be bold to speak like Peter and John, that people recognize the boldness that comes not from us, but from you. Dear God, I want to see your work so great that people say, we want to ban you for praying in Jesus' name. Because that means that they see the difference. Oh, let us be bold to do your work in your kingdom. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. It is who you are. We thank you for your great love for us, and that you have made a plan for us, and you have made a plan for our community. Dear God, let us step out in that plan with no fear, and just know that you are with us, dear God. We thank you for that. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the work that you are going to do, the people that you are going to bring, the names added in the book of life because of your work. In Jesus' name, amen.